Brother Hoyt Chastain speaking in 1969 at the seminary in Bellflower, California. He's speaking on how to build an assembly.
Some church are using the ordinary thing. The word shouldn't be a family at all. The word church incidentally was prohibited, or the word assembly rather, was prohibited from use when King James was translated. Therefore, they translated it from church. But how in the world do you start other churches? Most folks have the idea, most people today, that if you start in today and you got this church, you get 15 or 20 members out of this one, one out of that one, and over the other. And especially if you can find some disgruntled ones there in it, and get out and start another one somewhere. Well, my experience of those that are disgruntled, it's better to leave them alone.
Amen.
Right. How do you start a church? How do you start a church? In Acts 10 and 37 is your foundation. I don't know if one of our churches is large enough to split up and start another, do you? You ever thought in terms like that? Acts 10:37, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now preaching is the way to start a new assembly. If you usually a person wants to start a new assembly by going over the territory and finding out if he can locate at least two or three Baptists to start. Well, you don't have to wait if you have two or three Baptists in the area to start one. You can find your building somewhere and furnish the rent for it and get someone to pay it for you, start preaching in it. And let folks know that you're going to preach there. Preach. That's the way it started ending.
Amen.
That's the way it was done in the early days. How did John start the first church incidentally? Well, he started preaching. In those days, King John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I don't know what church building he used while he started preaching to you. John didn't walk around over the community and find out how many Baptists there were in the area before he started, did he? Because there were none. And there's plenty of places that you know where there won't be any.
Right.
There's lots of places where there are no Baptists. Well, how in the world can you start one there? What about preaching? Preaching makes Baptists, incidentally. The right time for preaching. So John preached, and he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The best way in the world to start an assembly is to start preaching on repent.
Amen.
And that was John's subject at the beginning of his ministry. In the hills of Judea, preached on repent. From the banks of the Jordan River, preached on repent. Sea of Galilee, preached on repent. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And as a result, he preached and folks were saved.
Amen.
And then when folks are saved, then the next move comes in.
Amen.
Preaching. That word I say, where did it start? From Galilee, after the baptism of John preached. Galilee is the place where it opened up. Where is Galilee? Galilee was in the north part of the section of Palestine. And the Christ was on earth, is the land in the three divisions. Common division, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. And in Galilee, up the top part of the little country of Palestine, in and around the city of Galilee, is where John started preaching. Now let's open up with Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. I would to the Lord that we had more pioneers than what we have today.
Amen. That's right.
of us are afraid to tackle pioneer work. Is that not right? Now, if you want a real joy in your life, start from the very beginning. Right on the ground floor. Well, you said, Pooch, I can't do anything like that. Why, how do you know you can't? You haven't tried it. You don't know you're trying. So, I wouldn't suggest you try it in your first year of your seminary activity on here. Most of you haven't got that. Know what to do in the first year. Well, not John the Baptist and filled with the Holy Spirit from my mother's womb. We're not Paul that's been taught directly from heaven. And if it is needful for God to teach Paul for 3 solid years, I think it's least needful for us to teach you 6 or 8. So, learn something, and then as soon as you learn something, the first opportunity you get, start using it. And preaching to people. Preach. What should I preach? Well, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 1:1. I don't know of a better text that you can use than that that John used or that that Jesus used. Preaching. Repentance. And when you preach the gospel, beloved, it's going to bring repentance under folks.
Amen.
The beginning of the gospel of the Son of God. When you preach the gospel of the Son of God, it's going to have its effect. It isn't mine to cram it down, folks. It's the Holy Spirit's business to use that gospel for the glory of God.
Amen.
And he'll do his work. Don't you worry about that.
Amen.
If it isn't done in the first service, lots of times young preachers, and especially those that start out in new work, will feel like the Lord hasn't had anything to do with me because the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Well, if you preached about Jesus Christ, he was there.
Amen.
Whether you knew it or not. Most think, most preachers think, unless everybody falls all over their face, during the service, that the Holy Spirit wasn't fired. And unless somebody falls out and has a connection fit, well, the Holy Spirit wasn't fired. I'll tell you right now, emotionalism is not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. If you preach Christ and him crucified, don't you worry about the Holy Spirit being there.
Amen.
He's there.
Amen.
The book says he'll take the things of mine and show them unto you.
Amen.
Now that's when the Holy Spirit leaves. It isn't because of the great demonstration. It isn't because of the great unusual incident and various things that take place. By the way, it may be real slow. It may take a long time. You know, God doesn't get in a hurry like we do.
Right.
All right, the gospel of the Son of God. Now let's start in with verse 14, and I want to read some more for you. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee. Now, where is Galilee? The north part of the land of Palestine. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel.
Amen.
John preached the same thing that Jesus preached, and Jesus preached the same thing that John preached. Life begets life, too incidentally. Things that are equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And if it brought good results in John's day when he preached, and good results in Jesus' day when he preached, it'll bring good results in our day when we preach it.
Amen.
Same thing. And it's fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, there's a little bit of difference between me and you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's typical for me to walk the seaside and the seashore and see a couple of men out there fishing and know whether they're already saved or not. Well, Jesus did know. Now remember, he's starting his assembly.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He called a couple of these fellows that had already been saved. He didn't tell them to repent and believe in him. They'd already done so. Mm-hmm. And John had already baptized them. But I'll tell you what he did tell them. You come follow me now, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't see like Jesus did. So it'll be a little bit different along that line as we start our assemblies in various places where the Lord shall permit us to be. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. We're trying in this seminary to teach you how to be fishers of men.
Amen.
And that's the most difficult task that there is on the face of God's great earth.
Amen.
Did you know that? It's hard to teach people how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
I like to fish literally. But it takes a lot of patience and a lot of good common horse sense to fish. And while those fish are wise, they're given sense enough to know how to protect themselves and take care of themselves. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only sense a fish has. Is know how to find something he can take care of himself. All right, you've got to learn how to outwit him and his desire to live. To catch a fish. You've got to learn how to outwit the unsaved fellow. Well, I'll illustrate just a little. Fella walking down the sidewalk, and he saw a man sitting there on the porch with a fishing can in his hand, and he's fishing out in his wife's flower garden. And when he passed by, he said, well, how many of you caught? He said, you're the sixth one. If you're going to fish, number one, you don't fish in the flower garden. I'm talking about bass, and I'm talking. You have to fish where the fish are. And so if you're going to fish for human beings, go where the human beings are.
Amen.
I'd like to give you this in building churches. In the early days, the Lord started his men out where the people were. I think that's a good place to start. Well, we have millions of them right here in Los Angeles, California. I'm going to keep harping and keep drumming upon this very thought until I can get it over to somebody. I think there's lots of mission work to be done in Los Angeles, California.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for the foreign field, but I don't know of any foreign field that has as many conglomerated groups as we have right here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Amen. Well, their souls need to be saved just the same as those in Canada.
Amen.
Those other places. Good place to do mission work where the people are.
Amen.
And I think lots of times our call to the mission field has some kind of fantasy attached to it. Now, think with me for just a little bit. Maybe a lot more fascinating to go off way off yonder somewhere and start a mission point in some foreign field than it would in some good hard section like the city of Los Angeles. Maybe so, maybe not. There are millions of people here, and I don't think you could find a better mission field on the face of God's green earth than right here in Los Angeles, California.
And
Orange County, Los Angeles County, my goodness alive, how many of the two counties? And how many churches do we have? Well, another thing, a lot of young men think that it's impossible to serve the Lord while they're in school. I don't know how many have told me that. Well, preacher, I've got to get out here and win souls to the Lord. Well, what in the family is wrong with you? There's thousands all around you.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, that you can't win souls unless you get out of school and go somewhere. Well, don't you meet folk every day? Listen to the Lord.
Welcome to the church where your membership is.
Amen.
Serve the Lord while you're here in school. You can lead just as many souls to the Lord while you're in school as you can when you get out. And you might lead more.
Amen.
Get out of business and do it.
Amen.
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 Is that too rough?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Why? The thing that we're all practicing. One young man came to Brother Bogart while we were in the seminary in Little Rock, and he said, Brother Bogart, I want to go to Africa as a missionary. Well, fine, Brother Bogart said. Tell you what you do now. You move down here on 7th Street or 9th Street, somewhere in Little Rock where the colored folk live, and you begin to learn their customs, associate with it. Why, I'm not going to do any such as that. What do you think I am? Well, if you can't be interested in making work at home, you certainly couldn't be in Africa.
Amen.
That was his answer.
Amen.
And I think that's true.
Amen.
You say, well, we've got to start at the home base first. Well, as far as I can see, the home base here hasn't been worked out yet. We haven't even gotten off of the home plate yet, not even the first base.
That's right.
Right here, what has multiplied millions of folks that are unsaved. Your interest in the Spanish mission field, associate with the Spanish people here and learn to deal with them right here while you're in school.
Amen.
Interest in going to Korea, I think you've got a good thing in mind. Go there amongst the Koreans, begin to work with them now.
Amen.
Try to do something around here in Los Angeles.
Amen.
Your interest in going to Africa, WASP is wide open, by the way.
Amen.
And there's not any more heathen in Africa than there is in WASP.
Right.
Amen. You're interested in the Chinese field? It's right here in Los Angeles.
Right.
Japanese? They're here. The Dutch people? Well, it's got it everywhere.
Right.
I say to you, beloved, Scandinavians, it's making a difference where you go. They're here in Los Angeles, California.
Amen.
And while you're in school, you could be associating and laboring and working and preaching and trying to reach folks that are here. And I tell you something, if you can't succeed right now while you're in school and having the encouragement and assistance of others, you'll certainly make a flop when you get out by yourself.
Amen.
Is that too rough on
you? Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You need to work as you prepare.
Amen.
There was a Sunday school class in the church where you're a member. You say, preacher, well, they haven't given me any room and no place to do it. Well, build it out under the tree on the yard.
Amen.
You can always be out in the open in California the year round, maybe 2 or 3 weeks out of the year while it rains.
That's right.
You don't have a Sunday school class, build you one.
Amen.
Go out and get you some folks and bring them to church. Huh?
That's right. Amen.
Well, you say, preacher, that's silly. But it's pretty good business.
Amen.
Yeah. Pretty good business.
Amen.
Can you do it? Well, if you ever plan to build a church, learn to do it now.
Amen.
You couldn't build a great assembly for the Lord if you couldn't build a Sunday school class.
Amen.
So the best way is to start at the bottom, isn't it? And get you a way to start with a handful. See what you can do with them. And then go on.
Amen.
How many deaf folk are there in this country, Betty? Have you any record at all whatsoever? Have any idea?
Not 10,000.
Well, that's a whale of a lot of people, isn't it? 10,000. Well, there's those folks.
Amen.
And there's those need to be saved just as well as mine.
Amen.
And yours.
Amen.
How do we start ascending? We start them by preaching.
Amen.
Preach. Just keep on preaching.
Amen.
Right.
Huh? Right.
Now, these are practical things, beloved, that I'm giving you this morning. And we'll not do a successful job for the Lord until we've actually saturated the community right here where we live and where we operate as a seminary and churches in this section. There is not a missionary Baptist church in Los Angeles. Now that's a terrible indictment, isn't it? Why not build one? Well, you say, preacher, I can't. I believe you could. You never know until you try.
If you try it and have not won, never stop for trying. All that's great and good is done just by patient trying. And an effort put forth to get the job done.
Right.
How do we start assemblies for the Lord? Well, we start preaching. Get a home somewhere where you can hold services. Preach to them in their home. And then you might be able to find an extra store building now and then, because it allows you to do it. You've got regulations and everything here in the city, and so a lot of things to pay. Perhaps every time I go downtown on Broadway and 7th, I believe it is, there's a colored man that I see preaching down there. Like every time I go, he's standing right there on that northeast corner of the square, preaching. Or he's not doing any preaching. He's hollering anyhow. I wasn't able to understand one third of what he was saying when I drove the window down to him right there on the sidewalk. But anyhow, he's putting out what he's interested in. Then I saw some, I don't know what in the Sand Hill they were, they had pink sheets and yellow sheets, and things wrapped all around them, and the hair all shaved off except a little knob here on the back. But anyhow, they were buttonholing everybody that's come along, giving them a try. And talking to them, trying to make disciples to their faith, whatever it was out of them. Well, you say, preacher, I think it's silly to get out on the public square and preach. Well, it is so, but the Lord did it a lot of times. He'd get out to the sheep market and the sheep gate. And he'd preach to folks. Get out on the sea bank. And he'd preach to them. And when the crowd got so great that he couldn't stay on the bank, he'd get in a little ship and move out a little while so they couldn't walk out in the water and water. And he kept preaching to them.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, there's every opportunity in the world to preach. And it's wide open down in Pershing Square. Go down here to College by the Sea. What is it down here by in Long Beach? Somewhere down in there. Do you remember that place? I preached in Pershing Square. You ever preach on the street? Try it. If they can do it with evil, certainly we can do it with good. And you'll find Jehovah Witnesses walking up and down the street sometimes and turn around and giving out their literature.
Right.
Well, they're preaching.
Right.
They don't have church buildings. Few kingdom halls here and yonder throughout the country, but they're scarce as hen seed.
Right.
They're doing their work out on the field.
I've got all the equipment to do it with. At home, all of you stuff, and I backed it. Anyone like to go inside with me, I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Wherever there are people, there's responsibility for me and you.
Right.
Isn't that right, friend?
Amen.
But it's hard for us to get it through our move if we need to work all the time for the Lord. Now, if you wait until you get out of school to try to win anybody to the Lord, you'll be so backslid you won't be a fit for anything when you get out. Keep your interest up while you're studying. There isn't a thing in the world that makes me want to get a hold of somebody more than after I've studied the Word for a little while.
Amen.
And when I've studied the Word for a little while, I want to get out and get to somebody. Do you have that experience? I don't reckon I'm any different than any other preacher, any other child of God. And when I read the Word and study the Word, the next thing I want to do is get a hold of somebody.
Amen.
Well, you'd explode if you didn't get a hold of somebody if you stayed here for 4 or 5 years. It just build up, and we couldn't stand it. We got all these jellyfishes down there to pull out of the bottom of the table and come down and just blow up. Well, you need to unloose, let it out a while. Work for the Lord. You're a member of this church. Lead somebody to the Lord, bring them here to church. Wherever you are, serve the Lord. Put what you're learning into practical use for the glory of God. If you find something new in the scripture, try it on the next side, by the way, that you come to. Huh? Why not? Preach. That's how to build assemblies for the Lord.
Amen.
And I want to emphasize it. Well, can the girls do anything? The wives do anything? Do you work somewhere?
How many of the secretaries were you worked or saved? You check grocery? Well, how many of the sectors around you are saved? Wherever you are, there's an opportunity of reaching somebody. Now, in the Great Commission, the Commission doesn't command us to go. This may jar the liver out of you when I say it. But the command in there is to make disciples.
Amen.
Am I right, Brother Hubbard?
Amen.
As ye go, make disciples.
Amen.
Or going, make disciples.
Amen.
Now, it is a command to me to make disciples. If I haven't made a disciple in my ministerial life in the past year, I've failed.
That's right. That's right.
I want that to soak in for a little while. Make disciples as you go. Amen. That's the thing for us to do. I like to see folks when they come to our church bring somebody else back.
Amen.
All right. Gives us an opportunity of making disciples, or they make disciples out of them. Do the same thing in every community, every church where you're located as students. And our work can build tremendously right here in this area. While we have enough preachers that are in each of our churches in this area, well, our churches could double in 1 year's time if just the preachers alone would make disciples.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Amen.
Well, certainly it's true. How many of you remember your bellflower? Let's see your hand. All right, there's one, two. I'm talking about preachers now. We'll let you in and out of it right now. All right, you preachers. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine preachers. How many did you leave for the Lord last week? Now, don't answer me. Well, if you nine preachers just leave one to the Lord a month, that'd be nine you in each month. Well, now's a good time to practice what you're learning. Do you want? Okay. Use what opportunity you have in building the work where you are, and it'll be an experience for you that'll fit you when you get out yonder by yourself to study like Brother Roberts has been doing.
Amen.
Now, it takes a lot of grit and gall to go into an area and just preach to your wife and children for 5 or 6 weeks. Is that right, Brother Roberts?
Right.
And it's pretty hard to preach to them just all the time, isn't it? And then thank the Lord when he gets one other to come in. I remember very well when I had two extra guests that didn't come in too. But thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
And the continuous dropping of the water wires away the stone. So don't give up. Don't give up. I don't remember what the place was where your daddy held a meeting one time in the past, Brother Hubbard, but I'm going to give them this incident. He held a meeting somewhere out in the east, or he told us that he was going to hold a meeting. And when he got there that night, by the way, it had rained, pitch forks and nigger babies all day. And they couldn't have any services that night. No one there but the preachers. Well, he told them, I'm going to preach. So he got up and preached. And preach just like he had a house full. Now, you'd have to know him to have his understanding, wouldn't he? He's one of the greatest characters I've ever known. And faithful to the Lord. Well, it's preached. Some years later, on some street in Arkansas, somebody stepped up to him and shook hands with him and said, you're A.T. Hubbard, aren't you?
Yep.
Well, I know you. Well, I don't know you. You remember that time you preached over yonder where there was no one to hear you and just an empty house? He said, I was standing out under the eave of the house while it was raining, and I was saved that night.
Amen.
So you might get somebody saved, you'd preach to him today. Ever hear him tell that, Brother Travis?
No.
So you never know what you can do if you try and make the effort for the Lord. I think God works on both ends of the line, beloved.
Amen.
Amen. I think if you make an effort for him, there's somebody out there that he's working on the other end of the line, well, that effort should get to you.
Amen.
I believe that just as much as I'm before you.
Amen.
So take advantage of every opportunity that's yours and serve the Lord.